Two best friends that started a podcast to share their mom moments and everything they're going through. Sound familiar? You know we love Girl Gang support and being honest, open, and raw about all the things, raising kids, adulting, work, and basically just getting through it all. And that's exactly what we're talking about on today's episode of the Divorce Etc. podcast. We have two great guests that we've been admiring and relating to from afar, and we were happy to join them on their podcast recently. We know you're going to love them as much as we do. We're the ex-experts, Jessica and TH. We help you navigate your divorce and successfully move on with your life. Let's bring in today's guests.
I am like such a super fan. I am so excited. Just so you guys all know, I think we have rescheduled this about five times. So life gets in the way, but we know it happen. So we have Kat and Nat here from Kat and Nat Unfiltered, hashtag mom truths. All of the things that you want to know about two besties, being moms, being best friends, still having sex after kids, not having sex after kids, whatever. They're literally are unfiltered. So welcome to our show, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
We're so happy to be here.
Thank you guys for being here.
So first question, whose idea was this anyway? Kat and Nat Unfiltered, going live, being on camera all the time. So when 24/7, whose bright idea was this?
There was no camera when we started. It was blog days and Pinterest days. And when we say there was no influencing job, this was not a thing. You did not work from home. You did not share stories other than what sort of craft you were making or a rainbow cake you were doing. It was at the time of, what were they doing?
Gosh,
they were
on YouTube.
They were crafting moms. They literally did crafts.
Something moms.
I can't remember, but that was really the big mom thing only. And a lot of people tried to put us in that box. They really thought that, you know, we would just do events because we wanted women to talk, and it was really hard to get women together and talk with children running around. And I think that we were two stay-at-home moms, and we were really the only two stay-at-home moms at the time, and everyone else was working. And it was at a time when you'd go for dinner and you couldn't talk about your kids. Like, it was kind of like unpolitically
taboo.
It was like taboo. It was like, you don't talk about your kids. You talk about, you be interesting about everything else, but it's like they don't exist. Remember when you had to go to work? Like, you didn't have kids and then come home like you didn't work.
And meanwhile, like, the only thing on your mind all the time is your kids, because you think you're doing everything wrong. And so you're just questioning everything, but you have to try and carry on conversation about something else because nobody wants to just talk about the kids.
And blogs were never our thing. So I think that I can confidently say we were one of the first live streamers, because we had to go to Germany to get a software to start talking to people. And I think a community kind of came out of just a conversation of mom truths, which was our videos we began to put up on YouTube, and then would share to Facebook, and then Facebook Live came, and then all of a sudden it became what it is today. That's a really short version of it, but I don't think it was an idea to ever do this.
The thing is that yeah, and we wanted, when we were creating events in person, what everyone was saying to us, I want that in my city, I want to be there, like, how can this happen? And we're like, how can we do this? Let's video it and live stream it. And that's really how it started to become, like, how can we get this message of, like, you know, community and like being open-minded and sharing all the stuff. The only way that we could do it was through video, because we weren't going to sit down and write about it like everybody else was doing at the time.
Right. Well, you know, it's so funny too, because I mean, I, as I'm sure you know, like, one of the most relatable things is the fact that you guys are so brutally honest about what you're going through. Like, I remember when my kids were little and whatever, even when I was at work, and I would say things like, my kids are such assholes. Like, this is what I'm dealing with today. Like, what a pain in my ass. And people are like, my friends would totally laugh and be like, yeah, we totally get it. But then there are other people around who are like, how can you say that? Like, children are such a blessing. You should want to be with them all the time. And I'm like, that is such fucking bullshit. And why is that the message that's out there? Like, shouldn't the message be how fucking hard it is to balance it all? Mm-hmm. And so we are obviously doing something different when it comes to divorce, but also, like, how much it sucks and how much life can suck. But, like, there can still be good moments. And I feel like what you guys are doing is bringing that message home, like, beating it home, which people need to hear.
the people need to hear. And I don't remember if we told you when you were on our podcast, but during the time when we're having these events, the majority of the people at the time were married and having like their first babies. But we did recognize that there was a group of people that were newly divorced. And although we weren't divorced, we knew that they wanted to connect. So we ended up hosting events for, you know, divorced moms. So they got together and they could talk about the challenges that they were having that we weren't experiencing. So we couldn't, you know, we couldn't talk about it, but we could bring them together. And some of those friendships, which started a decade ago, those women are still like in support of each other because they just, they didn't have anybody and people weren't divorced. Like they were, it's so right. new.
There comes yeah. to be like an age, like TH and I were the first ones. We were like, you know, in our, you know, early to mid 30s. And then it's like 10 years later, the rash came and people started getting divorced. But it is true. Like, it's the same as when you start having kids. Like you need yeah. people around who understand what you're going through because other people just legitimately don't. It's not a judgmental thing.
No.
But when you have kids and you're bitching and moaning about what's going on with your kids and you have friends who don't have kids, like they literally cannot relate.
I know.
And you know, yeah, I think we have, to, I have to clarify that, you know, people, someone once called it a rant and I'm like, you know, I don't think it's a rant as opposed to something about like the unrealistic expectations, because being a mom's really easy when X, Y, and Z is all taken care of. And when you're not having to book dentists, doctors, worry about being a mom is simple without everything that comes along with it. And I think right. that the joy of motherhood, we have so much, like we love being moms. I don't love everything that comes. I fucking hate dinner. I hate thinking about where they have to be. I hate what, you know, you can hate parts of the job without hating your children, you know? And I think there's a big distinction where people hear, you know, complaints, they don't understand that you can complain about the minutiae of the day to day and still love, you know, you'd never being want them to be gone or something different. It's just that what comes along with it is often a lot more than just being a mom.
Like I've never actually met someone who's like, I regret having children and I hate being a mom. We have.
No, but don't you remember what a perfect parent?
That's like, I think we do. Be? We know.
No, it's on a, yeah, it's on like a blog being like, I didn't want this and I did it because everyone told me to. You know, like they have their whole
thing. Yeah, rare, well, that's rare, unfortunate. Yeah. But I just feel like it's so funny what a perfect parent we all were before any of us had kids. I would never let my kid have that much screen time. I would never let my kid behave like that in a restaurant. I would never do this. And it's like, yeah, just fucking wait.
Right. Yeah. And on the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best. Love
and,
those.
And then there's still parents who pretend that their kids would never do. I'm like, I've seen your kid when you're not around. They're the biggest shit out there.
I know. Well, it's the same thing with everything in life, right? It's not me. It's you. And you're the one with the problem. Okay, so we want to know more about you guys personally now, not just what you always put out there. So were you guys friends growing up? Were you friends because you had kids the same age? Like, how did you guys meet?
It's so funny because did you see those stories the other day that I did? Because we grew up in kind of the same circles for a very long time. And I have like a best friend that I've had since before kindergarten, like daycare. Ironically, Natalie and I kept our paths kept coming into each other's lives without it being the friendship that it is today. It's so interesting when like I look back because I have to find those pictures because she has them of like us at camp together in the same cabin, but with our respective best friends.
Yeah, I came with mine and she came with hers.
And then, you know, we'd be at the same like parties, but like as friends in high school who are kind of naughty, not as best friends. And then, you know, we always just sort of like were in each other's lives. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, we met in ninth grade. We went to camp together. We went to the same school, but definitely had two different separate friend groups, but we're always in each other's lives. And then we kept in touch for some weird reason because
I never talked to anybody else.
No. Like, and I was really good friends with her best friend. Mm-hmm. That's how I met her, was through her best friend. And
did you keep in touch with her?
No, weird. Not as much.
Yeah.
And here we are, we had babies ironically together at the same time. And
it's like the world wanted to keep us together.
I was just going
to
say that. The universe
they knew that we'd need each
you...
other. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm going to mind fuck you. I.
Well,
yeah,
wow.
Fine. Sorry. My dog has issues.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Yeah. With my dog in my arms. I was hanging out with her and I was talking about her and we'd be at the, like my parents would like know her because she began to be in my life a lot and I was in her life a lot. And then my dad was like, is that the same person that has this grandmother? And I was like, yep. And then he's like, well, did you know your grandmothers were like best friends and mm-hmm. together constantly?
They were like widowed really early.
They were widowed.
Yeah.
And they love to cocktail and play bridge together or yeah. something, whatever those are. Ginny.
That's amazing.
Rum Ginny or something. Rummy. I don't know that. Ginny yeah. Rum. Whatever, Rummy. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever that card game is. And they never remarried either one of them. Yeah. And they were, you know, kind of widowed very young. And it's just really interesting that we never knew each other mm-hmm. when they were alive.
Our parents knew, but we didn't know yeah. about that.
You're like their soul sister spirits, mm-hmm, kind of. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like
one
that.
Wasn't very kind, but that's okay. It was, you know, my grandmother had a lot of friends and anyways, it's a different story.
My mom was like the one woman that I like of her mother-in-law's that she loved was her grandma. She was just such a fun lady.
There wasn't many, but my grandmother was one of them. Mm-hmm. So there we
what
go.
If your kids end up hating each other as they get older?
It's too late.
Is that an option?
For that? No.
I think they see each other as like it's not about there's no hate. If anything, they would have their more sibling rivalry than there would be like sibling interplex than you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
now
it's
like they've been together so long now and there's seven of them and they've known each other since they were born because our daughters, our eldest are the ones that we really start to connect. So they haven't known life without each other. And it's like it's not their cousins and it's not their like a couple of them are really our best friends, but it's just this unique thing that they just know is in their lives and will always be in their lives.
Chloe, we were down in our studio yesterday recording something and she's like, I don't see Natalie anymore. It was so cute. And aww. it was like a pack because our big kids take up a lot of time now. Right. So it was like a passing and she's only eight. So she's the little one. She's like, I don't see her anymore.
Oh my God, I love that because I see her more than any of them. But no. I don't like it when I don't see her kids. Like,
no, I'm passing. I don't see Natalie.
Oh my gosh. I will hang out with her 24/7.
It was really cute.
We have that with our kids. Like our kids, I have an older one and then I have two. And then my youngest is the same age as Jessica's oldest, her first. Mm. The boys are actually 5 days apart. And then Jessica has a younger daughter, Zoe. And it's the same thing. It's like family. It's like comfort. It's easy. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's nothing, you know, there's just nothing to worry about. We're just all no. here together. And yeah. this is what it is.
And they all know each other so well. There's no surprises in the way that they walk, talk, behave, react.
Actually, sometimes my youngest gets jealous of, she got jealous of the dog and of Natalie. So sometimes she'll get jealous, but she gets jealous of the dog. Like if she, no one else can have me but her. She's a bit of a stalker. Mm. But she's working, she's growing up. She used to literally fight
through
with,
it.
She used yeah. to fight with the dog, like actually get in fights. I'm like, no, you cannot.
I remember saying to her, like, oh my gosh, Bo the baby. And she was really young. When
very young.
How old was she?
She was like 2.5.
She looked at me and she goes, I'm the baby.
Yeah, no. She's definitely got possession okay. issues over me 100%.
That's really funny. when we got divorced, we were so young and our kids were so young. Cause like I said, like we were like the first one. So TH's kids were 4, 8, 6, and 4. Yeah. And my kids were 2 and 4. So we were best friends and our husbands were best friends. And so we arranged it, TH and I, in our divorce agreements and in our settlements that like the rotation of when we had the kids on the weekends was always the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we always had every single weekend. It was like, even if we weren't doing anything, we were not doing anything together.
Right.
Did they keep in touch? Did the dads?
Not anymore.
No. They weren't real best friends.
They did for a while. Well, they were both dating bitchy women and they stayed with their bitchy women. And so I think the women drove them apart. But
wow,
our kids, they were basically together every weekend because whether they were with us or whether they were with them,
that's what
they were doing. And we would celebrate all the holidays together. We would go to TH's house. My kids are like, love her parents. It's a whole
How far do you live from each other?
Well, now we live probably close to an hour because she lives further out in New Jersey. But initially I was living uptown in New York and she was just over the bridge in Jersey. So
it's
we were like
literally
20
minutes. It's like 22 miles, but when you talk
it takes
about
an hour
out of Manhattan and she moves all the way downtown, it's like,
I live all the way downtown.
Got to plan a day.
Yeah.
So what about your husbands?
Are they best friends?
Yeah. Okay.
Do they ever make plans together without you?
Yes. Yes. And it's
usually, often when we're not here.
Yeah.
They're no fools.
Because they have all the kids.
Yeah.
And they're also men who rely on us to make plans.
Yeah.
Like in general, even if we were not like,
you know, those guys that go out with their guys, like once a week, twice a week, like we know lots of guys like that. Our guys aren't like that. They're working and they're usually with the family or they're taking the kids to all their sports.
That's their happy place. So they're not like,
no, they know they're going to see each other with you anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, I wouldn't.
Yeah. They're just not organizers in life. Like they're not calling anybody. If that makes sense.
But they have the same thing in common that they're married to these crazy girls.
Yeah.
No, but we all have our roles, but would they be friends if you guys weren't married?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they'd met probably.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have met. Mine wouldn't even live in Canada.
Oh, really? He's not from Canada? Sorry.
No, he's from Massachusetts.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, they have a big role with us, right? We have 7 kids. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking recently, like teenagehood is a different world. It's a different phase. It's not your life anymore. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, the baby phase, you still get to put them to bed and decide where you want to go. Like you get to decide if you want to go to your house for the weekend or your house for the weekend. You get to decide. It literally stops because their schedules become more important and you are the person who makes it, who orchestrates it, because they're not quite independent enough to go on your own, but they're not independent enough to not go on their own. Does this make sense? So you're kind of in between.
Right. So like we're on those teenager schedules.
And there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. I was in the shower. I'm like, it's not just another sandwich. You used to say it's just another sandwich. It's not. That's a lie.
My mom used to say that to make sure we had kids.
No, it's not another sandwich. I'm letting you all know right now, one more kid is not just another sandwich. That is, let's put that one to bed right now. Fucking lie.
Yeah. She just wanted to make sure I didn't have
one. It's actually another bag of issues and another bag of like, here you go. Another bag of like, take it away.
I'll never forget. Like there was a mom that I worked with and she was, you know, that perfect person who's like a little bit older than you. I got married when I knew her. She had young kids. So I watched her like, oh, this is what my life is going to be like. And I remember she had 2 kids. She's like, I always wanted a third, but I just really think like I've got 2 like perfect kids. Do I really want to like rock the boat? If it becomes too much for me, my husband, or if, you know, something happens. And I was like, I, of course, in my young brain, I never even considered that. I'd be like, yeah, I have 3 kids, just have 3 kids. Anyway, she ended up divorced too, just with the 2 kids. So she could have had 4.
There you go. Okay. Happy so ending. How do you guys find time off camera, off recording, not doing events, not taking kids to just be friends?
That's like, we don't.
No, but actually,
honestly scheduled a friendship date night.
Zoom, like a FaceTime.
On Zoom, because I don't know anything that's going on.
We spend so much time together. Like my kid goes to school right beside her house. I pull up in the morning. We stay together, whether we're working or just talking.
Often the day gets away and we did nothing today. And
we just talk the whole time.
Like Kath is like, fuck girl. Did you do it? Like, oh,
she's like, I saw your Insta stories. I know you were just sitting there together. Why didn't you get your deliverable done? And we're like, oh my God, we just had to talk about everything. So we spend almost every day from morning until kids pick up together. And then we talk about call each other about 7 times in the evening, and we call each other before we see each other in the morning when she dropped off her kids and I'm putting my makeup on. So like
there's a lot of idle time.
We don't need to make time to see each other because we're always together.
We're very high school that way where it's like idle time. We call each other like driving,
toilet,
cooking dinner, doing the thing. So that
all
is
all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had like any major disagreements about anything?
No.
No. I think
we're going on vacation together with the whole family, which we haven't been away together in a while. And all 11 of us are going away May 20th for a week. It's a terrible time to go away because the kids are about to have exams, but who cares?
Oh, yeah, it is.
The worst time ever, but it's the only time that hockey and dance are done.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. That is going to be a dumb trip. Are you going to record that?
Yes, of course. It's going to be we never been away all together with teenagers either, where they're a lot more independent.
It's so good.
That's going to be like a TV show of its own.
Just tell them what time they need to meet for lunch and what time they need to meet for dinner. And it's amazing.
Making out with the employees. Don't get pregnant.
Our kids are.
Yeah. You want to pass those messages along, but it's a condom. One ear out the other.
Speaking of, it's the Dominican.
Yeah. You know something about that.
Uh-huh. Oh my God.
We've got stories about the Dominican
people that you see. We don't forget.
Oh, we don't.
You see a little 4-year-old running around.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to pause here for a quick minute.
Have you ever said this? Oh my God, look at this bag. I've never even used it, but I spent so much money on it. Ugh. Or I have to deal with my closet. It's a mess. I really should consign some things, but I don't have the time. Or, oh my God, look at these old Gucci sunglasses. They're so out of style. What am I going to do with them? Easy. Call The RealReal. You basically have a closet full of money waiting to be put into your pocket. They come to you, they pick it up, they put it online, they sell it, you get paid. Seriously? Yes, it's true. And I can personally tell you that I have done this myself and recouped thousands of dollars from clothing that I'm not wearing, bags and shoes that I'm not using. It's definitely worth it. If you're interested in consigning with The RealReal, just click the link in our show notes or in our link in bio on Instagram or TikTok and fill out the form. Make sure to add XExperts, that's EXEXPERTS, next to your last name so they know the XExperts sent you. I promise it'll be worth it.
When we were getting divorced from our exes, we hoped someone would take us by the hand and make sure we didn't make any of the mistakes with our kids. Dealing with our ex, friends, dating, you name it. So we created a divorce rulebook for you. You're welcome. We share what we wish we knew back then so you don't make the same mistakes we did. If you want your copy, all you have to do is go to exexperts.com. It's all there for you. You don't know what you don't know, but the ex experts do.
So girls,
do people hear that and then they can hear what I say?
Yes.
Is that a online course or is it a book that you buy?
It's a free download that you get when you go to our website. Oh. We wrote a divorce rule book. So you sign up for the divorce rule book by visiting our website.
Why don't you charge for that?
You do.
Lead magnet, honey. Okay.
Got it.
So, but I was going to say, like, when you guys realize that a huge part of your audience is also people who were newly get divorced and likely continued on with people that are getting divorced, what did you kind of offer at those events that you feel like was maybe different than elsewhere to be able to foster those relationships?
Actually, all we did was bring them together. And then Kat and I kind of just sat back and let them talk with each other. And they took it away because they had no one to talk to. So, right. And they had no one in their situation. So it was just, you can imagine the verbal diarrhea that just came out because they finally had someone who understood what they were going through. So we did a few of those, but really for us, it was just about connecting those women together because they lived in different parts of the city. So we made them see each other in person a couple of times and then they took it away from there. Because again, we didn't have any experience with knowing what it would feel like to be a single mom with young kids. So we had to let them do it together.
Yeah, but you created the environment, a safe environment for them to come to. And they trusted you. And so...
And they also probably felt if they were followers of yours and they liked what you're putting out, that they had those kind of similarities together, like-minded personalities.
Yeah, and Kat and I both... came from single moms and we saw what it was like for them. So we had a little bit of an understanding of that need for connection because our moms were just at the time, I think my mom didn't have any divorce friends. So she was navigating on her own. She didn't have that group. So we wanted to give these women something our moms didn't have.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, though. Yeah. I didn't know that you guys both came from single moms. So, like, what did you see as kind of the biggest challenges? And I'm sure you hear people, we hear people all the time tell us and everybody else how terrible, what we're such terrible people because we got divorced and how we're like ruining our kids' lives. And
oh my God, are you serious?
All the time. And we firmly believe that when you get divorced, regardless of the circumstances, if you then can be happy in your own life, you're just more present and available for your kids, and your kids see happy parents rather than like two people who are married who fucking hate each other. That is such a less healthy environment to grow up in. So I'm curious, like, your take to people out there on being children who were not raised in two-parent households and how you feel that affected you and what you think your mom's biggest challenges were.
I think one thing that just like crossed my mind was, and I know that you're not supposed to be like this, and I know a lot of people are like, you know, when you get married, you're like, I am making this commitment for the rest of my life. I think that when I personally got married, and I think I've always said this, is I'm not afraid of divorce because I saw someone do it and come out like strong and happy now, that if I'm not happy, it's not a sentence. To me, it wasn't like, I just want to be married to the same person for the rest of my life. Like, I think when people are like, oh my gosh, I just like can't wait to have my 50th anniversary. I'm like, I don't even know if I really see the magic in that. If they're happy, that's great. But I never said to in my mind, I'm sure I didn't tell Mark this, but I was just like, it might not really be forever. It's going to be for as long as I'm still into it.
But that's a healthy, people say like it should be a constant conscious commitment, not like you're stuck with this person.
But also like I was worried in particular about my oldest daughter because she wasn't into boyfriends. She wasn't into any of that. And I was thinking that it was related to, I don't want to meet somebody because I don't want to divorce. And she now is in a, like this guy is adorable and great, makes her happy, and she's totally herself. But for a long time, she was saying, you know, I'm not getting married because I don't want a divorce. And I feel like a lot of kids of divorce do feel that way because it's such like a looming black cloud that
you
they've
feel that way.
Parents.
I was 18 months. I know no different.
Oh,
I didn't know
gosh.
Any different.
But you didn't want to not get divorced because of your situation.
No, I think that, we make so much about nothing. Like, I think it's like, you know, it's what you make it. And if it's a big deal to you, then it's a big deal to them. And if it's if it's horrific for you, it's horrific for them, right? Kids are watching. You're the barometer of. I'm not saying it's not hard at all, and I'm not saying it's not totally. Terrible. But I think it's what you take from what your kids will take from it. What you give them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
I agree 100%.
That's what they're going to take. They don't know anything else. It's like, you know, in some countries, they have a nap at 3 o'clock every day, and that's normal. And they drink wine at 14. And here it's not like it's what is whatever the norm is for them. And I think that we're in a lot more control of that than this whole world of it. You know, what people want to say.
My kids were so young, like I said, they were 2 and 4. And so really they didn't know much different. I worked full time. We kept the same nanny, and she was the constant going back and forth between both homes. And I remember people like, oh my God, it must be so hard on them. I'm like, they literally don't have any sense. Like they have nothing to compare it to. It's not that hard on them because we don't make it hard on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how excited are you to go to dad's this weekend or whatever? Like I agree with you. It's 100%. If you're walking around moping all the time, then that is what your kids are going to see.
That's what they
and
pick
they're
up
gonna,
on.
And they're going to carry that as like that they're a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's the way you talk about your, but like, you know, it goes into everything. If they are half them. So, you know, I think it's how we as adults handle any situation, because like you said, you can be married and it can be freaking terrible, and you can, you know, complain. Like there's no, where you live and who you, there's people who get deployed for 3 years and they could be divorced, but they're just not, they're married, but deployed. Like, I think that, you know, the emphasis on people not getting divorced because it's going to ruin the children. I don't know where that comes from, but.
And then the other thing is for the listeners that are divorced, and if they have spent some time moping around, like you said, it's not too late to like decide to make things better. Because I know that for a lot of people, when they get divorced, they go through something so crushing that it's just hard to get out of bed. But you can go through those really hard times, I think, and then you can turn it around. So if you're listening right now and you're like, oh my God, I've been moping around for so long, my kids are having a bad experience, tomorrow you can change it too.
I also bet that most are a bit different version of themselves in front of their kids. And you cannot feel like 100% yourself. And your kids sometimes know that, but I think we're harder on ourselves than our kids are often. And it's okay to mope at home and mm-hmm. be sad, but you just have to make it not your kid's issue. Mm-hmm. It's an right. adult issue, not your kid's issue. So I think most are doing that. Mm-hmm. I feel most are doing that. You're having a shitty time. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all have shitty times.
Yeah. You're only human. All right. We have mm-hmm. a few rapid fire questions for you. Okay. Favorite cocktail?
Tequila and vodka soda right now. I don't know. It's weird.
What kind of tequila?
Don't care. I'm a tequila.
She's a big tequila connoisseur.
Reposado, mezcal.
I hate mezcal.
Okay.
Probably silver. More of a silver. Yep.
Yeah, I like gin and tonic sometimes when it's hot out.
Yeah. And I mean, I really don't discriminate.
She likes everything.
You like all cocktails? You don't like
all cocktails.
I don't like what?
Jägermeister.
Grappa. Yeah, I'll do a shot of Jägermeister. I like Fireball and Diet Coke.
Oh my God. We go to Vermont most weekends and we have two big shot skis up there that are usually filled with Fireball. So you'll have to take a little drive down to Mount
Snow. Where in Vermont?
Wilmington by Mount Snow.
Nice.
I think we've been there.
So anyway, that's where the Fireball lands, in the shot ski. Okay, Jess.
What are you binge watching?
Oh my God, the golfing one right now.
Really?
Oh, time. Fair Game, I think. What's it called? Fair Game, something.
Swing?
It's the second season.
Sure, it's not a swing.
Second season of Swing. Yep. I just Google how much money they make and I can't believe it. Even the bad ones, because it's the whole thing on Liv right now, like Liv Golf, and how much money mm-hmm. they didn't take. And now they merged back together mm-hmm. again. And like one guy left $170 million mm-hmm. on the table to only have all these fuckers be able to come back and play. Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It is actually, I just can't imagine what it'd be like to be like, no, we're for the game. And then they're like, actually we're merging.
But with the money, like I did that when I remember there was a college football coach a couple of months ago that I think was like pushed out. And it was saying something about his salary. He had like a 5-year, $100 million contract. And I was like, what? And I started looking up all of these college mm-hmm. football coach salaries.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea. I figured they were making like a million or two, not 10 million a year. Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, no. I just sit there and Google, I'm like, what's his name? And then I look at mm-hmm. how much he's made and how much he's making. And you know, cause the pressure to win, to keep your lifestyle going.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and if you lose, they fire you. They don't give a shit.
Right. Oh my God. It's really quite interesting.
I've been watching everything. I'm watching more TV than I've ever watched, but I just watched The Baby Reindeer and I hated it. And I don't recommend anybody watches it. It doesn't make you feel like a better person after watching. I thought for sure stalker crime. This is the recipe for everything I would love. It just got grosser and grosser. And I feel like everyone's watching it and it's number one on Netflix. And I wish I never saw it.
Fair.
So what are you going to watch then?
I've been watching, what's it called? Apple Falls or, it's on TV. It's a really good one.
On Apple TV?
No, it's called you know how they say like the apple falls, the apple doesn't fall from the tree? It's a play on those words. It's really popular right now. And you know a lot of the actors and you definitely know the main two actors. And I can't think of what their names are, but it's a good one.
Okay.
Look that up.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. So what do you do to relax? No kids.
Take a bath.
Husbands. What would you do?
I take a bath and I watch crime.
I'm not joking. In the bathtub.
Yeah, I do.
What would I do? I just like to
apple
like...
never falls. Apples apple never fall. Falls. Apples never fall. Got it.
I love my backyard, but it's only useful like 4 months of the year. Mm-hmm. So I just would go and I just like to sit back. I literally could just sit in my backyard for hours and hours and hours and then more hours and just like go around there. But it's just not working out for me right now. So maybe tomorrow. Okay. Maybe tomorrow.
What was your like worst mom moment or mom truth that you had to deal with that you wouldn't have necessarily thought? Like, for example, like mine was like one time I was alone with my kids and this like piece of furniture fell on my daughter and I like couldn't get it up. And I was like totally freaking out. And it was like one of my worst.
I have that one moment. I've never had such a panic and like had that like mother like thing, but it's really hard to describe. But did everyone have the ice storm that year? Where the
around Halloween.
Mm-hmm. No, ours was Christmas Eve because you came to my house.
I had to sleep at your house because everybody lost power. And basically all the trees were covered in like water and snow and ice, and then you'd be outside. And I remember that we came outside, and my husband was taking the ice off the car, and he had a helmet on. And I didn't really think about it, and I brought the kids out, and my youngest one I was carrying, so I didn't have a helmet on him. And it was this silence, and then you heard crack. And after you hear the crack, that's when all the ice falls. And I took the youngest and I put him inside my jacket and all the ice hit me on the head and I had like bumps all over my head and I came inside and it's like, I couldn't breathe. It's the scariest time I've ever had with the kids. And I've never really had a time like that since. Even leaving Tucker behind on the dock was fine.
What happened to you happened to me, but I don't remember what happened. Like a giant wood mirror fell on her. The ones that like lean up on the thing and the glass all shattered. On like she was underneath and the glass all shattered on her.
Oh my
god.
And
so she was underneath. All I remember is I picked up I somehow it was like a 300-pound mirror. I somehow got it up really quickly and I picked her up and there was not one fucking scratch on her.
Mm.
Wow.
And there was glass everywhere. And it fell on her this way, like face forward. Like it fell onto her face.
Oh my god.
I don't know what was watching her that day, but and she was young. She was like 18 months. I just freaking picked her up and I got it off, picked her
it's
up.
Amazing,
and
right?
I don't remember her it. Power. That's how, it was like
blacked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I blacked out. And I took her downstairs and I was like, I called my mom and I was like, I need you to come see if like she's okay. Cause mm-hmm. I can't, she looks fine, but I can't see. This is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband got home. He's like, holy fuck. Mm-hmm. How'd you get this up? And I'm like, I don't know.
My story was, I was alone with my kids. I was already separated. So I was, you know, the only adult in the house and the TV went on downstairs. Someone was breaking into the house. So I called the police and they knew that I was a single mom because I let them know when I moved in there, like if I call, put like a star next to my name or something.
Oh my gosh.
Come to me faster. So I speak to them and they're like, well, go in your kid's room. I'm like, my kid's room. I got three kids. Whose room am I going in?
Yeah.
And my daughter hears everything. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, all right, well, that's the kid's room I'm going into. But God forbid, you got to pick a kid. Which kid am I picking? So that was my holy shit mom moment.
Why did the TV go on?
I don't know.
Doesn't know.
Oh, it's a ghost.
It's a fluke.
I've been there.
Ghosts. I don't know. Okay, so what's the one thing on your personal bucket list?
Like in life?
Yeah, something that you want for yourself that you want to do.
Have a warm house when we retire.
Yeah, I really want a beach house.
I don't want to be stuck here.
Where would the beach house be?
I mean, I would love to say like somewhere exotic, but then the kids won't come visit you. So I really need somewhere that it's a quick flight and like a Florida probably where they can come and, you know, just like, I want my kids to always want to come home and I want them to always want to bring people home. So,
and the flight has to be easy too, because we're not bringing the husbands to live with us there. They'll be living here. So we need to like, you know, go back and forth.
Quick flight, quick weekend flight, you know?
I love it. What That's was the hot. Last concert that you went to?
I haven't been to one in Drake. So long. And mine was probably a fucking kid concert, something so dumb. And I can't remember. I don't love concerts. So that's a bad question for me. But I would go to Taylor Swift because it's a production.
Yes, they say she puts on a great show.
I don't even need to know all the songs. I would just go to that. And I'd go to Pink and I'd go to Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
I also would go to Pink. The last one I went to was Billy Joel. He does a residency here at Madison Square Garden. He plays once a month.
And oh, wow.
I've gone like probably close to 10 times. His last show is in, I went last month.
You guys should really come down and see him.
The other night really with my sister, Friday night. And then I'm hoping to go to his last show in July, which I think will just be, I just think I'll have a lot of like guests come on and do stuff. I'm hoping anyway. So I'm a huge, I grew up like, I feel like my dad was always playing Billy Joel and Elton John and things like that. So I feel like when I'm, and it's a huge sing-along. It's like a 2.5 hour sing-along.
It's great.
Wow. His concerts are amazing. There's no production value really. It's just him out there at the piano with his band playing. It's fucking awesome.
Wow.
Wait, fun fact, Jessica and I met Pink.
Oh yeah.
Downtown in Tribeca. She was holding her daughter. Her daughter was like 3. She was online for the bathroom and Jessica whispers in her ear. She's like, we're big fans.
Well, and I pointed her out to my daughter, who at the time I think was like 5. And my daughter was like, I love Raise Your Glass. Really cute. It was
really cute. Is she married or divorced right now? They go back. No, they're back.
I think they're remarried.
Like for the third time.
Yeah.
That's why she puts out great music because they have an interesting
Rocky. Right. Okay. Last question of rapid fire. What's your best piece of mom advice or life advice?
I would say like, I've told myself this cause I didn't know it in the beginning, but like never say never, like just because I'm in this place right now or my kid is doing this right now doesn't mean that tomorrow, I don't want to go and say like, oh my God, I was sitting there being like, that would never happen to me. I would never do that. Things change, be open-minded.
I think also that don't be the person you think you should be. Like, just be the person you are, because I think we beat ourselves up and we are like, oh, our kids, I should be. And your kids don't care and the kids don't know. And if you waste all this time on who you're not, you're just teaching them really unattainable things. So just be who you are and freaking own it and love it, because you'll have a lot more fun in parenthood than if you keep beating yourself up what your kids aren't beating yourself up about, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We beat ourselves up for things that
don't feel guilty about.
No one even cares about, but you do for some weird reason. But your kids are like, can we just have fun? Can you like stop being in a bad mood about what you're not doing?
Just give me a hot dog. I don't need a 5-course meal.
Yeah, let's just have fun. Can we just be happy? Can we move on?
Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, thank you guys so, so much for joining us. We, like I said in the beginning, and like Tate said, like we're huge fans. We love watching you. So for everyone listening, like you will love these women. And when are you coming to do a show in the New York area?
We are in Buffalo and we in Rochester and we in Boston. Rochester, is it Syracuse?
What about New York City area?
Oh,
so
we
far,
need to do
Buffalo,
that.
Buffalo, Rochester.
Okay, sorry. We're going to get it in the calendar.
Why don't you just come to New York for the weekend and leave the kids with your husbands and we'll go to Billy Joel.
Okay, we got to find that weekend.
All right, and it's gonna be soon because his last show is in July.
Oh, man.
He's only playing 3 more times.
Can you make anything happen.
Didn't May just come here? And I'm like, holy cow, where did you come from? That's what
but
I.
But meanwhile,
thought.
You're wearing winter jackets, so it hasn't come to you the right way yet.
It is confusing. That is right. You're right. When it's warm, I'll be like, oh, I get it now. But now I'm like, what?
Is it May today?
Yeah. It's May.
I can't believe.
Week. Oh yeah, it's crazy. Oh, thank you guys for having us.
Thank you guys. And for everybody listening, if you enjoyed this episode of the Divorce Etc. podcast with the ex-experts today, then please help a couple girls out. It only takes a minute to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And it actually really helps us and other people like you that are dealing with divorce. For more about Kat and Nat and their shows and everything they do, check out the show notes. And of course, share this episode with anyone you know who can benefit from listening. Have a great day.
Thanks, y'all.
Oh, you've got a great intro and outro.